This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We got next, Fiona.
Oh, next we have Bill Brown, who's on the line from the Australia Institute, the research centre. We are going to be talking with Paul about truth, lies and consequences. Oh, Bill.
Bill.
Paul is going to put Bill on the mics. It's perfectly legal to lie in a political ad, and it shouldn't be. Bill, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So truth in political advertising, Bill, it's Macca here. What an interesting concept.
Yeah, it is. And often Australians are surprised to learn just how limited the protections against misleading advertising in politics really are. We have a very limited law about misleading people about the process of casting their vote. But other than that, it's really open slather for political parties, candidates, and third parties to mislead and deceive the public.
And is this because laws are made by politicians and politicians are not going to make laws, no matter what colour they are, that actually they feel inhibit their ability to tell lies?
There's probably an aspect of that, definitely. I mean, we've had laws against misleading and deceptive conduct in business, in trade and commerce, for many decades now. And even though those raise the same questions about what the truth is and who regulates the truth, that hasn't stopped those laws from being in place and operating with very little kind of controversy or contest.
Now, Bill, in an exit poll that you have done at the Australia Institute days after the referendum, found that 87% of Australians support the introduction of laws to require truth in political advertising before the next election, including 92% of those who voted yes and 83% of those who voted no.
Wow. Yeah.
So as you say, while yes and no voters might disagree on what's misleading, it's only 4% of the voters were opposed to introducing these new laws.
And that was the politicians coming out of the booths.
Yeah, that were the politicians.
That's right. And I was reassured to see those results. We've asked about truth in political advertising in the past in the context of how people intend to vote. And similarly there, what we found is that concern is shared by Australians across the political spectrum. It's not as if there's one side of politics who sees lies as part of doing business and the other that's appalled by them. When you get to the voters, they all want to see action. And that makes sense because in recent federal elections, we've seen the claims of misleading advertising go back and forth between both sides of politics. Again, it's not as if there's a single offender here. It's a problem that we need to clean up. And if you put the decision-making in the hands of an independent umpire, then that means that anyone can raise a concern and it can be assessed fairly and neutrally.
Do you think, Bill, you know, I think if you asked anyone, do they want, you know, truth in political advertising, you know, we see the political ads, you know, we sort of absorb them. But we're doing that on the basis that really it's a crock of something. So the politicians, they do it. There isn't truth in advertising for a reason, because they want people to be influenced by what they say, and often the truth is unpleasant and people don't want to hear it. Do you think, is there an appetite in politics? There's a lot of virtue signalling goes on, but is there an appetite for truth in advertising, or does it work against the interests of political parties?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think the answer is a bit of both. The other side to it is that politicians don't benefit from the community's kind of scepticism of what they say or the low regard that many people hold politicians in. It would actually be an improvement just in the lives of politicians, if they could command a little more respect and trust from the people that they're meant to be representing. And I think we are seeing a change come through. We're seeing increased concern about the role of social media and its ability to propagate misinformation claims made by anyone that can suddenly take off and be seen by tens of thousands of people. That's a change in the political landscape that regulators didn't have to deal with in the past. So I think there's growing consensus that something needs to be done. And we have seen politicians unite behind truth in political advertising laws. South Australia has had these laws since the 1980s, and they're not a point of serious contention there. We don't see either side of politics trying to get rid of them. And just a couple of years ago, the ACT unanimously passed truth in political advertising laws. So that was Labor, Liberal and Greens politicians getting together and saying, enough is enough.
Well, I certainly think that there is a great concern over the political playbook that the coalition government used in the Voice referendum and in the No campaign. And there is a concern that this is going to set the playbook for the next election.
Not the coalition.
No,
the government. Not the coalition as the opposition.
The coalition as the opposition. But that this was, you know, this is an American import, and that we're going to see more of this, and that if we can actually have some laws around truth in political advertising, that we might be able to reduce the impact of this negative campaigning.
I think that that's right, and I think that's really brought this issue to the fore. Because we saw some really disturbing claims circulating around the Voice referendum. Incendiary claims about the Voice representing a land grab, which just isn't true. The Prime Minister himself has raised concerns about anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that circulated around who was funding the Yes campaign. And we saw senior politicians who should know better claiming that there was an element of the referendum being rigged or a risk that the Australian Electoral Commission wouldn't be impartial. And that's really scary. And that is, I think, where you see that American-style politics being imported. The beauty of the Australian political system is that we've got an electoral commission that's independent, that conducts elections with integrity, and that the result is something you can be confident in. And to start questioning the integrity of the people overseeing the election is a step towards questioning the integrity of our democracy itself.
I do wonder, Bill, I mean, you know, on this program, we speak with a lot of politicians of all colours, and you know, we get a feel when they're telling the truth or when they're not, or when they're being disingenuous, or and you know, often it's, you know, the comments we get from listeners indicates that listeners are hearing that as well. The politicians, I do wonder if I ask you the question, Bill, why do you think there's a lack of political and legislative desire to have truth in political advertising? Is it purely their self-interest? Or, you know, are they going to wrap themselves in the flag and talk about democracy when they actually practice something different?
Interesting. I think, firstly, I would flag that it is difficult to regulate misleading political claims in general. So we've got a model from South Australia for truth in political advertising, but a lot of political claims aren't made in the context of written material or radio ads or TV ads or so on. They might be spoken in parliament and reported on by the media, delivered in lectures or circulate among people's social media. So there isn't a single silver bullet solution to these problems. And indeed, there's a question about where to draw the line. So we don't want opinion to be caught up in laws about claims of fact and truth in political advertising. But where is the barrier between a claim that's just your opinion and a claim that implies that there's something deeper going on. Mm. We see that with concerns about there's a secret plan to do something to increase taxes or whatever. Mm. Well, how do you establish if a secret plan does or does not exist? So I am sympathetic to politicians and the difficult task that they face. But that said, I do think there are ways to dramatically improve the quality of the debate, including through truth in political advertising. And the other element is that we can extract a political cost for lying. If we change our voting behaviour based on what we witness the behaviour of our elected representatives representing, then that also gives them an incentive to be more honest and upfront.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate it. Basil is telling us we've run out of time for this. Sorry about my dog barking there. We've run out of time, but it's been great to hear from you, and thank you for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I said 94, whatever. With Macca and Fiona, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Solomon Islands and the China switch with Edward Cavanaugh, journalist, researcher and policy analyst. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.